I know that we would all, I know we like to be on the mountaintop. I know we like for, I guess because we're selfish and we just like for everything to go well. But had it not been for the valleys in my life, had it not been for the trials that I've gone through, then I wouldn't know the things about the power of God that I've been privileged to know. And one thing for sure, when you're in the valley, up is the only way you can go. And that's what we need to do more. We need to look up more than what we do. Please pray for me today. Pray for the message today. Well, you go right ahead.
I can't testify when the Lord gets right down on me, and I don't want to wait. It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Good to feel this good spirit move among us. I was thinking that this past week, I've been saved approximately 30,000 days of living in this earth. Had a good life. Got a good wife. Crowning moment. Those 30,000 days probably took place in a second. For me to repent, God gave me faith, justice, Christ, life, and salvation. There are inseparable graces. No one's ever been saved and hadn't repented. No one's ever repented and hadn't been saved. Right. So I just thank God for salvation. I heard Brother Russell one time. He explained it better than anybody I ever heard. Piece of paper. He pushed that pencil through that paper. He said, if you can tell me the time it overfall, that lead break through that paper. But that's about how much time it took you to repent of your sins and find faith in the Lord. It's wonderful.
Amen.
God saved me 55 years ago last Thursday afternoon, 2 o'clock afternoon. I've been up the week before the Sunday before that, I went and I heard the first gospel revival ever, the meeting I ever heard in my life, Sunday. I don't know what the man preached on. I wished I did. I wished I knew, could have a copy of it. But whatever it was effective. God really laid a little conviction on me. He broke me down, mentally, physically, and emotionally. Wherever I went to see what the Lord. Working in a basement of the Methodist Church to bring them to church. I don't know whether I was working the liar or the contract. I hope I was working the contract. Suppose if I was working the liar, that people sure got shortchanged. What you doing? I wouldn't know shit. Bird guts are heavy, I can't go in perfect. I bowed there in my office was under some sewer pipes over here. Still there today. That great love. And I just wanted to thank God today for salvation. As a 27-year-old man, I found that pearl of great price. And the journey's been sweet. And I'm not a bit tired of it yet. And I just wanted to feel like I'm looking to praise the Lord this morning. And if you're here this morning and you don't know this, Lord, greatest thing you can ever accomplish, no matter how long you live here. I went to a funeral this week. There's a man there, his wife was 97. He's been married 81 years. He was 104. But if every one of us lived here much longer than that, the greatest thing you can make a use of your time is seek God when you
feel.
Thankful that I had that experience. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Brother Lowe. Happy birthday. I'll tell you something else the Lord can do in an instant. Just right in the middle of the day, He can just suddenly bless your soul. I mean, just out of nowhere. Appreciate that testimony. If you would read with me today, turn to Joshua chapter 4. And I want to begin reading with the first verse. Joshua chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Anybody else have anything on your heart before I read? And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place, where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. And I want to stop my reading there with the ninth verse. I want us to think for just a moment here about these stones. There was obviously some work involved in this. These were not, you know, where we read about David picking up the smooth stones there when he was going to face Goliath, something that he was able to hold in his hand. We would have, if we had that picture concerning these stones, we'd have the wrong picture. These were obviously fairly large in size, something that they were told to pick up and bear and carry on their shoulder, and to carry them with them and set them down there in the lodging place and keep them through the night. So the point that I wanted to make in that is that there was an effort that was put forth in this. And the title of my message today will be The Effort to Remember. Putting forth the effort to remember. We may think that sometimes memory is just a natural thing, But I'll tell you what, when things happen to us in our life, the more important that they are to us, and the more that we reflect upon them, and the more effort that we put forth to remember things, the more we're going to remember them. And our memories of the things of God, I believe they require some effort. They're not just something that happens sporadically. Now, they went to great labor here, and to great extent to set up something here that would cause them to remember what took place. That they might not only remember it with or for themselves, but that they might, in the days ahead, in the days to come, that they might share it also with their children. Now, I'll tell you what I believe will happen and what I have experienced in my life. The children will ask the questions. They will. Sometimes we think that perhaps they may not be listening. Sometimes we may get the idea that our children, in the things that we expose them to, that they were not paying attention. But it's been my experience that children do pick up on the things that they hear and that they see. And they ask the questions. How many of you as parents, how many of you that are raising your children now or have already raised your children to the point that they're grown, how many of you don't have children that ask you questions? They ask. They ask, Mom, Dad, what is this about? What is that about? You know, what does this mean? What does that mean? And I believe that it was understood here that the children were one day going to ask questions about these stones and about what they meant. And when our children ask the questions, God help us that we would be ready with the answers. That we would be ready to tell them what these things mean. Now, I want to ask a question today, and I suppose that this is really what the Lord has placed on my heart today more than anything. And that is that for God's people, can we actually forget the things of God? Can we forget about them? Or perhaps we might think about the question as to how much are we able to forget? Now, it's obvious to me that what took place here with the crossing of the Jordan going into the Promised Land, that God wanted these people, He wanted Israel to remember this. He didn't want them to forget what happened. He wanted them to retain that in their thoughts and in their mind. And in order to do that, He had them to set up these stones to serve as a constant reminder, as a memorial. You know, anything that is a memorial, anything that is used for that purpose is to make people remember something. And so we think about this, and we could ask the question, well, why did God want that done? Why was that necessary? Would they not have just, the things that they witnessed there, the things that they saw there that were wrought by the great power of God, would they not have remembered those things? But obviously he felt that it was necessary for them to have something that would remind them of what had taken place there. And you know what the memorial truly was all about? Was that it was a place where God had helped them to do something that they couldn't have done by themselves. God had to, by his power, he had to make those waters stand up on a heap. Them being there in the time of harvest and the Jordan River was overflowing its banks. You know, just the same as when the children of Israel on the Exodus came to the Red Sea, it was impassable to them. They could not make it across the sea. There was no way for them to continue on the Exodus if God had not intervened and helped them and wrought a great miracle there by the parting of the waters. Then they would have been without hope, and they would have been subdued and killed by Pharaoh and his army. And the Jordan here was blocking their entrance because of its great overflowing of water, was blocking their entrance into the land of Canaan, into the promised land. And so God had to, by his power, divide it here where they could make it through there on the dry ground and go on into the promised land. And he said, set up the stones there. Take the stones and set up the stones there that you may remember what happened here. That you may remember this as a place where God helped you. That you may remember this as a place and a great event that took place here that you can share with your children in the time to come. Be ready to tell them and to answer them when they ask you the question, what mean ye by these stones? It's the same, I believe, that it's the same as the stone that Samuel set up there at Mizpah and called it Ebenezer. To me, it means the same thing. They were victorious in God. They were victorious through God. The Philistines were at war with Israel, and Israel was victorious in defeating the Philistines. And if you look in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, you'll find there at the place where God delivered them from the hand of the Philistines that Samuel took, and he set a stone there, and he called it Ebenezer. And what that means is the stone of help. It meant that there at that spot that the Lord had helped them. So why was it necessary? Would he not just remember it? Or would the children of Israel not just remember that what had taken place there? No, you know, we need reminders. We need things to remind us, and God has given us things. You know, the church today has things that the Lord has given her that remind us of special events, that remind us of the things that the Lord did for us. Are not both of the ordinances that the Lord set in the church reminders to us of what has taken place? When you went into the waters of baptism, when you were put under the water and brought up out of the water, was it not a reminder to you of what had already taken place down in your soul? Was it not significant of that? Did it not depict that? That you had died to sin and that you had been raised to walk in newness of life? Would we remember the things that the Lord wanted us to remember had he not given us the things that he has to remember them by? Was not the ordinance of the Lord's Supper a memorial? Is it not a memorial? Is it not an ordinance that the Lord gave to his church that we were to take? And I'll tell you what, friends, listen to this. If you have been privileged enough and blessed enough to be saved by God's grace and to be a member of his church, you ought to be attendant at the Lord's table. And you ought to observe that ordinance. It's taken way too lightly. I'll go take it or I won't go take it. Listen, that's not what the Lord said. The Lord said to take it. And every time that we do take it, he said, take it in remembrance of me. He gave us something to remember him by. I can look back through my life. And I know that many of you here today can testify to the same thing. We can look back through our lives and we can see the stones that we've set along the way. I've got a lot of Ebenezers. I've got a lot of heaps of stones. A lot of places in my mind that I recall where I know that the Lord intervened, where I know that the Lord helped me, where I know that had it not been for the help of God, that I would have never made it through that. Amen. I can't study these things and think about them without thinking about what happened to me one night in 1973 in the summer, in the 18th year of my life, there late at night, bowed down before the Lord. Brother Lowe, I believe, used the term this morning that he was broken. Maybe that wasn't exactly the word, but I know that's what he was saying, that God moved upon his heart and he was broken, and that's what happened to me. I'll tell you what, I don't believe in this pencil card salvation. They can have it. I mean, God worked a work in my heart and convicted me by the Holy Spirit, and I was broken. The Lord's nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit, a bruised or a crushed spirit. And I'll tell you what, friends, listen, God by his power, he broke me down and he bruised and he crushed my spirit. And I called out to him. I called out to the Lord. I mean, I called mightily unto the Lord. I didn't care what else was happening. I wasn't worried about anything else in the world that was going on. I didn't care what was happening around me. All I knew was that I needed to be saved and I wanted to be saved, and I was crying out to God, and suddenly the Lord, in that instant, the Lord did save my soul, and I knew that God had heard my prayer and I knew that God had saved me, and I got up and confessed that I had been saved. And I've got a stone sitting there in that spot today. Not a literal stone. I didn't pick up a stone and carry it on my shoulder and set it down. But I'll tell you what, I've got an Ebenezer stone sitting in that spot today. And sometimes I look back on it. And sometimes God comes, he did this week, just out of nowhere in the middle of the day, came and began to remind me of things. And sometimes I look back and I love it when the Lord stirs my mind and stirs my heart and puts me in remembrance of the things that he has done for me. And I begin to look back through my life and I begin to count the blessings that the Lord has given me. Now, I know we can't count them all. I know we'll never get them all counted, but we ought to count our blessings. We ought to think and reflect upon the goodness of God. I'll tell you what, folks, listen, just to be honest with you today, sometimes we get way too busy. We do. We get way too busy because I'll tell you, when we allow our lives to get us so busy that we push God out of it, then we've gotten too busy. If we allow our lives to get out of control where we can't take the time to reflect upon the goodness of God and remember the blessings of God in our lives, then we have allowed ourselves to get too busy.
Amen. Amen.
And we need to just get rid of some of those things. And we need, you know what you need to do? We all need to do from time to time. You need to just slow down. And you need to just sit down. And you need to look back. Ask the Lord to help you because He will. You need to look back. Look back through the years. Look back through your life. And take a look at the stones. They're there, aren't they? They're there. Places where we know that the Lord helped us and gave us the victory. Can we forget? Well, sure we can. I'm going to prove it to you today by the Scriptures. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Beginning with verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land, whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Moses here was talking about the greatness of the nation of Israel. Why were they great? Because God had chosen them. Why is the church so great? Not because of you and I, but because she belongs to God. Why are the people of God so wonderful? It's not because there's anything special in us. It's because we're chosen of God. It's not anything on our merit. You know, the only thing good about me is what God put in me. That's it. That's it. The only thing that's any good about us is what God put in us and what God did for us. And Israel was a great nation because she was chosen of God. And the question was being asked here, what other nation is there like you? What other nation is as great as you are that have been given these statutes and these judgments? But listen to what was said in verse 9. To Israel, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Well, let's look at Jeremiah. Look at Jeremiah chapter 2. Let's get another proof text here. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 32. There are some questions asked here. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. You know what happened to the nation of Israel so many times? Yes, they were the chosen people of God. Yes, they were His holy nation. Yes, God had chosen them unto Him and made out of them a kingdom of priests. God had given them His law, but there were so many times and so many ways that they forgot about God. I'll tell you what, listen, we may as well be honest with ourselves today, and we may as well admit it to ourselves today. You'll never get past a problem unless you're willing to admit the problem first. every time, I'm telling you, for a child of God, that every time that we find ourselves in despair, every time that we find ourselves lacking faith, every time that we find ourselves in a situation where we despair and we say, oh, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Have we not forgotten God? Haven't we? Let's go back to the account that I spoke about last week about David. When David was getting ready to face Goliath, wasn't it the fact that he remembered what God had done that helped him to go on and face the battle? Wasn't that what gave him the courage? What if David would have looked at that giant, if he would not have remembered, if he would not have reflected, had he not thought about the things that God had already done for him and had already shown to him those things in days gone by, he would have looked at that 9-foot giant and he would have said, show me the exit. Show me how to get out of here. I can't face this. He's too big for me. But David said, the Lord, one time there in the field, one time there I was keeping my father's sheep, and there was a lion that came against him, and there was a bear that came against him, and the Lord delivered them into my hands, and he'll do the same thing with this uncircumcised Philistine. Remember the things of God. Let us give the more earnest heed to the things that we have seen and heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Memorials, the things that God has given us, we need to remember them. I'll tell you what, you know, you won't remember them. People have such wrong ideas oftentimes about things. Sometimes I don't know where the ideas that people have, I don't know where we get those ideas, but you know what? The ideas that you and I have, if it won't hold up in the light of Scripture, we need to chuck those ideas and we need to get some good ones. And you know, this thing, and Brother Wheat touched about it on it a little bit in the Sunday school lesson this morning, but this thing about you know, going to church or not going to church, taking it or leaving it, taking the things of God or leaving the things of God. Friends, listen, those things don't work. And forsaking the church and forsaking the assembling of ourselves together and separating ourselves from the fellowship of God's people will not draw you close to God. It won't. You can get away from God's people and you can get away from the church. And as far as I'm concerned, in the day that you and I live in the church age, as far as I'm concerned today, you cannot forsake the church without forsaking the Lord. Amen. They work hand in hand. The Lord commanded us. The Lord gave to Israel 10 moral laws that they were to keep. And you know what? They were not the 10 suggestions. They were the 10 commandments. God has told us things in His Word that we are to keep. Brother Wheat quoted the verse this morning, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We are not to forsake what we are doing here this morning, coming together, worshiping together, fellowshipping with one another, hearing the Word of God. We are not to forsake this. And I'll tell you, friends, listen, and we need to tell our children this just as plainly as we can. We need to teach our children not to forsake assembly. Don't forsake it. Because I'll tell you what, you will not, if you forsake the assembling of yourselves together, you will forget the things of God. You may say, no, I won't, preacher. I'm here to say, yes, you will. Amen. Yes, you will. You know what? You know what a saved person can do? A saved person can get so far away from God that they don't even live their lives as if they retain the knowledge that they were even saved. I'll show you that from the scriptures. I'm talking about, I mean, you think about it. You think about being so cold and being so far away from the Lord that you don't even give thought to the fact that you have been saved in the first place. But the Bible teaches us that we can forget things to that extent. Let's look at what the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, listen to this, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now I'll tell you what I believe he was talking about. Will it completely be gone from the person's memory? No. But you know what? If we don't add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and patience, and all these things, you will end up living your life as if you were never saved in the first place. That's what will happen. If we don't retain God in our knowledge, if we don't retain Him in our remembrance, if we don't do the things that are necessary in order to do that, then we will forget about God. We'll forget about His blessings. We'll forget about the things He's done for us. I'll tell you what, friends, listen. There have been some children of God that have lived miserable lives because they didn't attend to the things of God. Miserable lives. We need to be fed from the Lord's table. We need to hear His word. I'll tell you, our soul needs spiritual food just like our body needs natural food. We need to take the time to reflect upon the goodness of God in our lives. We need to remember the things that He does for us. You know what? Find you a stone. When God blesses your life in some way, whatever it is, whatever it takes, find you a stone and mark it. Mark that place, that you can look back on it. That you may remember, this is the place. This is my Jordan. This is my Red Sea. This is my Mizpah. This is the place where the Lord came and helped me. I'll tell you what, if you don't recall it and you don't remember it, you won't share it. You won't pass it on to others if you don't retain it yourself. We may forget a lot of things along the way. But when we go to our grave, when the end of our life comes, our lives come, we ought to be able to look back through the years and see the things that the Lord has done for us. We ought to see those stones all along the way. But if you don't set them up, you're not going to see them. you find a way to mark the place where the Lord helped you. Amen. Then when somebody asks you why you're so happy about it, you can tell them. You can tell them. I hope something that was said made sense. I commend it to the Lord's hands for His use. I hope He'll use it to help us in some way. Anybody have a word at all on your heart? Remember, singing practice tonight at 6 o'clock. Everyone that will, please come back for that. I appreciate your attention today, and I appreciate your prayers today. And I pray that God will help you to make good memories. Because the things that God has done for me in my life mean more to me than anything in this world. So if all hearts are free, stand together and we'll have the benediction.